The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 388. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVD Cast. Anthony D. Stokes is my guest for this installment, and he is an independent comic book creator. And he currently has a project in the works called Tap or Die. It's a wrestling comic. And he currently has a Kickstarter, which is wrapping up July 25th. So we're going to talk about the status of the Kickstarter. We're going to talk all about the project, its main character, Domino, and even some of Anthony's fandom. Because obviously, if you've listened to this podcast, you know, if you are creating a wrestling comic book, you are a wrestling fan. And Anthony certainly fits into that description. But he also has a ton of other projects that he's working on. Decay, which is another comic of his. Intrusive Thoughts. He even has a YouTube channel that he will admit to taking a little bit of a break from because of all of his other things that he has going on. But it's going to be a great conversation. Anthony's a really talented dude and a very busy dude. So I appreciate he taking some time out of his busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. But before we get into the conversation that Anthony and I had, I need some help. And I mean this, truly, I need some help. As you probably may or may not know, myself, Jason, and Justin from the Three Geeks podcast, we've been working on a project featuring some interviews that we did a couple of years ago with Hollywood actor Larry Hankin. We call it the Larry Hankin Stories, and it's a Patreon, and we've been talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. It's up, it's live, but I gotta be honest with you, we're stuck in neutral. We get some folks to check it out, we get a few folks to sign up, but then they immediately kind of, I guess, peruse through the Patreon, and then automatically they just disappear. They withdraw their payment, and they move on. So I need some tricks, some tips, some advice on how to get these folks to join the Patreon and stay with the Patreon and check out the cool stuff that we have. So please, if you are somebody out there that has a Patreon, you've been very successful with it, and if you don't mind sharing your knowledge, please do. All right? You can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter at PVDMVP, or you can even shoot me messages on the Facebook and Instagram feeds of the PVD Cast. Of course, it's under at PVD Cast. I would greatly appreciate it. Justin and Jason would also appreciate it as well, as we're all kind of a little bit frustrated and scratching our heads because it's a heck of a cool project. It's just unfortunately, like I said, we can't get the right eyeballs on it. But at this time, I need to thank, of course, my great sponsors of the PVD Cast, World's Greatest Comics. You know that I love World's Greatest Comics. It's the best comic book store in Central Ohio. They've got everything you need for your comic book fandom. Whether you're talking about single issues, graphic novels, collections, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, toys, collectibles, posters, they got everything. So you need to stop by the store, especially if you live in the Columbus area. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But if you're not in Ohio, or you maybe are and you just don't want to leave the house, well, you could check them out online. WGComics.com is their website, and they're very active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WGComics. And again, I can't thank them enough. Mad props to everybody down at the store at World's Greatest Comics. I really do appreciate their patronage throughout the years. And with that, I guess there's nothing left to say other than I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Anthony D. Stokes. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down this evening with a man that has created a wrestling comic book that is maybe a little bit edgier than maybe some of the other wrestling comic books that you've maybe picked up and thumbed through, but that's okay. We're going to talk about all the aspects to Tap or Die. Mr. Anthony Stokes is joining me. Anthony, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. You're right. This is an edgier wrestling comic for sure, man. That's what we're going for.
I'll throw it out there as my first quandary. Why'd you go that route? I mean, I know you say you're a habitual line stepper, but why go that route to be a little more, I don't want to say adult oriented, but a little more R rated maybe, or PG-13 rated? I don't know.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because I was actually going for, as far as the content, my previous books were very much like hard, like very hard, trying to be, you know, very serious. And for me, this was a chance to kind of bridge the gap between doing something that's completely broad and doing something that's still character focused. Like the rawness and the grittiness and the edginess is like it's bridging the gap between the two. And then I kind of looked at it like, this is my first book that has sex appeal being like a major element. And I looked at it like it's wrestling, so it makes sense. Everything has to fit for the story. And when I watched Sopranos, it had sex, you know, like Breaking Bad, not as explicit, but it had sex. Game of Thrones had a lot of sex, you know. So it's, how do we use this storytelling device, this plot device, to explore character and theme and tone and stuff like that? And that's essentially what looking at these prestige shows and these prestige comic books kind of made the decision easy.
Well, let's do a little summary, if you can, about Tap or Die. I know the listeners probably want to hear what they can expect if they pick up a copy. So what's the main gist of this tale that you're telling?
Absolutely. So it's about a guy. He's a young up-and-coming wrestler, really arrogant, very talented, and he bumps heads with the legacy wrestlers. And the commissioner screws him over to protect the legacy wrestlers, and that starts that's the end issue one. So it's a revenge series.
Individual that you're referring to, your main character's name is Domino, correct?
Yes.
Any significance to that name?
It sounded cool. and then if I were to really try to dive and really just do an ass pull, when I think of dominoes, and when I think of spades, but also dominoes, I think of like angry. I think of like. I think of the like just being like really like tense. I don't know if you played a game of spades, but they get really tense. Oh my God, for no reason. So maybe subconsciously that was the choice, like part of the process.
I'm gonna give you a compliment, and we'll talk about the artistic team because you know there's some folks that have been helping you out as well, and they've done a fantastic job. But one of the opening panels, the commissioner looks an awful lot like Vince McMahon Sr. Have people told you that, or am I the first one to breach that subject?
You're not the. So it's a combination of Vince and then Dana.
Okay, Dana White. Yeah. All right.
So okay. I'm 29. So I wasn't. I think peak wrestling was a bit before my time, like a little bit, you know. So I identified Dana as like horrible, like I think he's like the scum of the earth, you know. Not that Vince is like a saint, but I'm a big sports fan, so I drew from different sports, you know. Like Randy is like, in my head, he's like prime time, you know, and that's why it's real deal, you know. It's something iconic, you know. And it's like boxing, you know what I'm saying? It's like wrestling. It's like it's a bunch of different sports culture. It's like rap culture, you know. I don't know if people realize, but it's actually referenced to Trap or Die by Young Jeezy, and it's actually a quote by him at the start. So I'm pulling from a lot of different inspirations for this one.
Well, I mentioned them real quickly. Let's talk about your creative team. So tell us a little bit about how you found these folks, what the responsibilities have been, how it has been in terms of the working relationship and whatnot.
Yeah, man. So Christopher Curtis was my is my guy. We I was like I was like, yo, what you got? Like, let's work on something. I'm just trying to put my eggs in as many baskets as possible. I don't know. Is that the phrase? Eggs
I
in
think
as many
so.
baskets. Did I mean that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to like I want 20. I started in 2021. I want 20 titles on my table by in 2 years. I want you to come to my con table and there's something for you, you know. So I was like, okay, let's get something together. He had an idea. He had a very thin premise. Like I think he had the commissioner. I think he had Domino and Iris and a few other elements. And I kind of injected my personality into it. I injected a lot of stuff into it. And then it kind of just broke off and became my own thing. But he was instrumental in getting the idea off the ground and promoting it as well. He's done a great job. And Emilio Utera, I mean, the guy just he makes black and whites that you forget they're not in color, you know, and he's really good at making moments very dynamic that weren't necessarily like there's a page three, and I think my favorite page in the book where the kid does a shoulder drop and then he has Real Deal in the backwards back doing a shoulder drop as well, and he's got like a kind of a makeshift mattress or not a mattress a makeshift wrestling ring. And that was on the script. That was 100% in the script. That was he knocked it out the park, but that was, you know, like a join. That was both of our ideas, you know, kind of coming together. But there's a scene where he's arguing with Bone Crusher, and it's a high angle shot, and then he's like standing over him, and it's kind of almost like a forced perspective thing. And that was all him, you know, like he made a decision to make it more dynamic. It could have been really boring, but he really like stepped up. And I think that's what I appreciate him for is the moments where he kind of just take something that could be mundane and just like knocks it out the park.
So let's talk about the Kickstarter that's going on right now. You have it, it's over July 25th. Am I correct on that
25th.
date?
Yeah.
25th. How's it going so far?
It's been like the least stress campaign I've had. We got funded in 60 hours, which is a new film. I think the fastest I've ever gotten funded was like 2 weeks. So that was great. It's been pretty chill. You know, you always want the number to go up higher, you know, you're never gonna be satisfied with the amount of money, but it's been pretty chill, like especially after having some rough campaigns. I've had like it seems like every other campaign is a nightmare. Like so this is the even number campaign, so we're chilling with this one. We'll see what the next one does, you know, knock on wood. But we've been cooling.
Do you still have some stretch goals to unlock for maybe some of the listeners that want to jump on before July 25th? So do you have any perks?
Absolutely, absolutely. So we have I was going to do a metal cover unlock. I might pivot because there's not a lot of time left to kind of get that coordinated, but we might do that. I added the script to the PDF that was unlocked. So if you back at the PDF, you're going to get a lot of content that's going to be like 40 plus pages. Maybe more than that. And then, you know, like it's we got that going on. I'm doing the issue two cover reveal at 5,500. So there's some good stuff. Also have a proof right here. I don't know if this is a video
Well,
a podcast, but I have a proof of the book right here. So you know, it's all the artwork is done as well, which is something that's it's a lot of work. You know, it is a lot of work to get the book done, but I would rather have it done in advance and I don't have to rush. It's so rare I have to go to one of my artists and be like, yo, I need this by then. A lot of times, like, it'll be like, okay, this will be, you know, I'm projecting when they should get it done anyway. And then maybe being like, hey, you know, can we confirm this day? But it just makes things way easier. I fulfill within a month at this point as well.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
That is really, really cool. No other stretch goals besides those ones that you mentioned. Anything else real quick?
Not I think that's it. I'm gonna check real quick. Let me see. Oh yeah, we'll do a live stream and then we'll add a sticker at 8,500.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, live stream at 7,500, sticker at 8,500.
And now, if I recall correctly from doing some research, this is a series, correct?
Yes, this is gonna be
How
a
many?
very long series.
I was going to say, how many issues do you have it mapped out for?
This is interesting because I don't have anything mapped. I have an ending and I had a beginning, and I'm kind of just when I start a series, like when I did my first series of K, I had all five issues written out before I start issue one, before a single pen stroke. You choose the thoughts, the same thing. So for me, I was like, I don't know what the appeal of this book is going to be, right? Like, are you here for just the action? If you're here for just the action, then I need to adjust for that. If you're here for the characters, then okay. I just need to kind of pick a direction and kind of pick what parts to emphasize before I kind of like committed, because this is out of my normal wheelhouse. But what I'm hoping is that you're coming for the aesthetic of wrestling, but you're staying for the characters, you're staying for the theme. And I think that, one, wrestling fans are, they like narratives. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the appeal of the sport. And I absolutely hate when people talk down to fans. Like, I think you can come for, like, you know, the sexy, the hot chicks, the action, and then, you know, you stay for the themes and the characters. So, you know, hopefully this has some retention and we can kind of go in different directions.
Well, since we're talking about wrestling and you wrote a wrestling comic, you obviously are a big fan. So can we talk a little bit about your fandom? Who were some of your favorites? When did you start watching? I know you alluded to a little bit that you were, early 90s, you said, is when you jumped on to wrestling?
Yeah, early 90s, yeah. I was like, I mean, Stone Cold is like, I almost modeled my personality after Stone Cold. I mean, he's such an ass, you know, like, he just being so arrogant. And, you know, being so abrasive, you know, you couldn't help but love him. And of course, The Rock, and he was iconic as well. And, you know, it doesn't hurt that he's not I'm a big movie guy. So it doesn't hurt that he's not a bad actor. He's pretty good.
You know what? I say that I give credit to the big three, that's what I refer to him as. I think Batista, The Rock, and Cena have done a fabulous job in Hollywood. I mean, some of the stuff they got shitty scripts. Let's just be honest. Some of them. You know what I mean? That's not on them.
The Rock picks shitty scripts for sure. I think it does. I mean, it's a shame because The Rock did, what did he do? He did that movie, Pain and Gain. I mean, when you gave him a good script, he was incredible. You know, I thought he could have gotten nominated for an Oscar for that movie. I thought he was incredible. John Cena is, you know, he's definitely getting up there. And Batista, I think it's brilliant. I think he's legit, like, a brilliant actor. You know, like, I'm so happy. I was so happy when he kind of like, when he was like, he's like, I don't want to be The Rock. I want to work with like Dennis Villanueva. You know, I don't know his name.
No, I know what you mean.
Sort of with James Gunn. You know, he wants to work with be basically a character actor, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I rave earlier this year, A Knock on the Cabin. Fantastic performance from him. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely 100% something different. And he pulled it off. Yeah. Same with Blade Runner as well. Absolutely. So,
Was I in Dune? Am I tripping?
I gotta be honest, Anthony. I've never seen the new Dune, so I don't know.
I might be.
I think he was. I'm pretty sure he was. I think he had a bit role in it.
Okay, I'm gonna look that up.
Okay, go ahead. I'll edit this out, so that's all good.
Not leaving it. This is real. This is genuine. David Tito. Okay. Cool. He was in there. Okay.
Any other favorites besides The Rock and Stone Cold?
I mean, Undertaker was iconic. I mean, who could not love, like, this is before my time, obviously, but, like, you know, Hulk Hogan. And then there's a guy that does, like, Randy Savage impressions. it's just on TikTok. It's insane. So, yeah, man, I got a lot of love for the early stuff, for sure.
All right, let's talk a little bit about some of your other projects. And one that I'm very curious about, you created a project called Intrusive Thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's safe to say that kind of mental health was one of the themes of that book. What is it about mental health that seems to be such a taboo subject for folks? In your humble opinion,
I don't know if it is anymore. It kind of
you don't? Okay. Like,
it's like I see like 10,000 tweets a day where it's like men's mental health isn't taken seriously. It's like, okay, if all y'all keep saying this, like it can't, you know, it's probably not the case. I think it's gotten better. And then maybe it might even, yeah, I think it's gotten better. I think we can't have these conversations. There's media about, I mean, there's even horror movies. There's an entire genre of horror movies that's just about like fighting personal demons now, you know, the elevated horror. So I do think it's easier to have those conversations now than it was, you know, back certainly back in the day, you know, certainly now. So.
Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with you on that. You know, I think that it has gotten much, much better. But yeah. Let's tie that into intrusive thoughts. So how does the theme of mental health tie into your project?
How's it tie in? So it's the entire thing. Like pretty much, I would argue that all of my books are about mental health. Intrusive thoughts is just it just has the name of a specific, I don't want to say condition, but a specific ailment, a specific brain thing. But I think, and people have asked me, what's it like transition from intrusive thoughts to Tap or Die? And it is different. It's aesthetically lighter, but I would argue that it's still about overcoming trauma. I think it's still about dealing with, you know, depression and dealing with, you know, anxiety and stuff like that. And so but intrusive thoughts, that's just at the very, very forefront. Like the issue actually starts with somebody in therapy. So it was just that's what the story called for, you know?
Okay. Have you received any kind of feedback from some folks that maybe were struggling, you know, with anxiety or depression or whatnot, and said, hey, I read the book, it touched me in a way, you know, that made me feel comfortable and stuff? Have you gotten any type of feedback like that? Or
no, I don't. Okay. I have, you know, I'm still new. It's still new. It's a new series. It came out early this year, you know. Mm-hmm. So
okay. So you still have plenty of time.
We have so much time. The book series not done. I might have sold like 300 copies of this thing total, maybe. So, you know, I think it'll come around. I think we'll definitely get those. And I think it's going to provide a catharsis for sure. It's been cathartic. Every series I've done is more or less about like me, a different part of myself that I'm trying to work through. You know, Decay was about grief. Intrusive Thoughts was about anxiety. And then Tap or Die was about like rage, you know. So It's all in there. Like really Tap or Die was specifically about like kind of my experience in indie comics, more or less. A lot of bad faked actors, you know, trying to like, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, this thing that things are always done. I can provide real life examples for everything that's going on in all my books. So yeah, very personal. I'm tired. I forgot your question, but
that's all right, man. That's all right. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Anthony for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs and a sponsor of the PVD cast. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a friendly staff, a clean store, a great pool system. They got all the bases covered. So if you're in the Central Ohio area, you owe it to yourself to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their website, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page, so just look for @WGComics. Let's talk about Super Comic Bros. It's a YouTube show that you host. So let's tell the folks what they might hear if they turn into an episode.
Well, you want to hear, it's me and my boy Chris Moses. We on a hiatus right now. We're kind of focusing on making comics. It's very, because we work on comics a lot, bro. We pump them out. You know, we're young, we're hungry. I think Chris has done 7 comics in, more than that, like 8-9 comics in like 3 years. I've done 9 actually. So we're just rocking. So we took a step back from the show, but you know, it's going to be us talking about a lot of different stuff, talking about indie comics, talking about like pop culture almost. You know, we were still figuring things out. It was a way to like just get ourselves out there and like kind of introduce us and give our perspective for the fans. And I think we'll get back on it for sure.
Plus, I think it also gives you an added thing to talk about when people stop by your table. And you know, many creators have come on this podcast and have said that it's super important to have a variety of things at your table, whether it is, you know, various different genres of comics, whether it's, hey, it's these comics, plus we got this, you know, this YouTube channel, or we got this podcast, or we got this film, mini film that we're shooting or something. It shows the depth to you as a creator, or of you as a creator, I should say.
100%. That's what I'm trying to do. And that was comments I got, because I could be like, oh, people are talking about you, not your comics. Like, it's the same thing. It is the same thing. But I mean, that's a newer way of thinking, right? Like we saw Lil Nas X, like maintain, like, he made the most popular song of all time, literally. And he's maintained a career by going viral. Like, you know, you can, your personality can, you can sell your personality and your art. And if they're both good, you will find an audience, you know?
Absolutely. Did I see on Twitter that you just recently got a publishing deal?
Yeah. Okay. You did your homework.
Yeah. Now, can you talk about it, or is there still some things to be done? Okay.
So I got a deal with my boy, Charlie McElvey, the big homie. And it's to work on a project called American Yakuza. It's a long title, bro. It's a long title. It's like, oh, man, I got to check. It's going to be a really long title. Like, how I went from an MMA fighter to buying into a conglomerate and becoming the first American Yakuza or something like that. It's like crazy, but it's going to be like, it's when I think of what I like to see in the comic book, I want something that can only exist in the medium comics, right? And when I think of that, I think of ridiculous genre bendy stuff, and that's what this is. It's very genre bendy. It's gonna be a lot. It's gonna punch you in the mouth with like just different flavors and different visuals, and it's gonna be great. And then yeah, it's a great. And then yeah, to have my big first big publisher deal be with the, you know, with the friend, with the homie on a book and working with my boy Chris Moses, it just makes a lot of sense. And you know, Chris is a great writing partner. Can I cuss on
you? Yeah, sure, absolutely.
We talk a lot of shit, bro. We talk a lot of shit. Like, and it really helps blow off steam. Like, you know, if something's kind of irritating us, we can just joke about it. We move on. So he's a great writing partner too. So it's almost like the perfect scenario, and it's a great thing. Because a couple of months ago, I could tell you specifically, like in March, in April, early April, I was just angsty. I was like, man, I've been doing it. Because when you first start making comics, it's like instant gratification. People are impressed that you made a thing. And then you jump into another one. It's like, oh my God, you did a Kickstarter. Oh my God, you did another Kickstarter. Oh my God, you made another series. And it's like the platitudes you reach are like easier to get. And then next, it's like that third level is crazy. The gap is crazy. So to get a publisher deal, you know, to get again another title, to have a co-writer, like, you know, so I'm collabing with people too. It's been a great experience so far.
I was just going to ask, what's the status of that project? Have you started to map things out, or you just signed the deal and you're starting to collect your thoughts and whatnot?
We actually wrote the first issue. He told us about it last month. He told us about it last month. And then, yeah, May, June, or like, yeah, basically the beginning of June, beginning of May, and then maybe later. And we had a first script done by like the last week of June. So we're rocking, you know, we write really fast. We've been writing for I've been writing for like 15 plus years. So, you know, we really know how to get in there and bang stuff out. We got the whole thing mapped. We actually need to sit down and pump up the rest of it too.
Well, I was going to ask real quick, you mentioned about you've been writing for 15 years. You have been a screenwriter producing a lot of different of that genre of writing. How'd you get involved in screenwriting? And if I could ask, how do you kind of map out your ideas?
So my dad was big into sports, and I didn't care about sports as a kid. I didn't really care about, I liked the Eagles, but I really didn't care about like sports in general until like probably my early 20s. So we relate to each other through movies, and I just always love movies. Movies are still my favorite genre, you know, medium. And I can say that as somebody, I have a massive respect for comics. I'm not somebody that like failed as a screenwriter and then just hopped in like, oh, this is going to be easier. Like, I have a massive respect for the medium of comics, but I still love movies. Like, give me an amazing movie over an amazing comic book 9 times out of 10. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I just loved them. I just in love with them, man. I was, I must have been 14, bro. Like, Superbad comes out the summer I'm going into freshman year of high school. And I was like, yo, this is insane. Like, this is going to be my life. And it was all the worst parts. It was absolutely like Superbad. And I was like, man, I love like how funny it's like they're funny without saying jokes, you know, like they're funny without big punchlines. I was like, this is crazy. And then I saw Inglourious Basterds probably within a year of that came out 2009. So probably within a year of that, I was like, I was hooked. I was like, oh my God, this is the opposite. Like, this is so animated. This is so, I mean, I saw the movie when I was 15. The movie blew my mind. Seeing those two things, I was like, this is what I want to do. you know, I was dead set on writing. I think I tried to write my first script when I was 7 years old. But after that, I was like, no, this is what I want to do, like, as a career. That's when it was locked in.
Who are some of your favorite movies? Or excuse me, let me rephrase that. What are some of your favorite movies? And what are some of your favorite comics?
Absolutely. So favorite movies, Scott Pilgrim, Goodfellas, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Infinity War, Civil War, Winter Soldier. I'm trying to give you variety here. Black Swan is fantastic. I love horror. There Will Be Blood, incredible movie. Okay. Like, generally speaking, like, for me, I like smart blockbusters. You know what I'm saying? I like raunchy comedies with heart of gold. And I like just pitch black thriller horror movies. Like, okay, something that makes you really misanthropic. That's my shit right there. Like, any of those three, we're good to go. And then favorite comics, I mean, Scott Pilgrim is incredible. And some things hit you at the right time, right? Like, Scott Pilgrim, I saw the movie, I was like, this is kind of whack. I don't know what y'all talking about. And then this is my last, I was a junior in high school. And I watched it again. I was like, no, this is amazing. I read the book. I got obsessed with the book. I mean, Watchmen, obviously, that's a good one. I love manga. Actually, I got to be honest, like, American comics, I grew up on manga. I think a lot of people my age grew up on manga. And, you know, so we had anything Shonen Jump, like One Piece, Naruto, Dragon Ball Z, I was reading, Rama One Half. It's just so many. Death Note, it was Full Metal Alchemist. Calvin and Hobbes, too. Love Calvin and Hobbes. Sunday Papers, I was grounded a lot, bro. So, like, the highlight of my weekend, because I couldn't watch them move, like, my mom got the Sunday paper, hours of entertainment. You know, you had the Sudoku, watch the time. So, hopefully I gave you enough stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. You know, Watchmen, when you said that, mad respect, because that's the one that, for me, that kind of changed my perspective of comics. And when I read that, I was blown away. Just totally changed my mind.
I'll be honest, like, my lifetime goal was to get an Oscar, which is pretty wild. And now it's like, if I made a Watchmen level comic book, like, I could die happy. Maybe not Watchmen level, but something considered like an upper echelon of comic books, I could be happy. I would still take the Oscar too, though. But like, then when you like Watchmen, I just want something that's like that's revered as like a great piece of entertainment, you know. And I think we might be getting close, you know. Like, I'm hoping we're getting close to in the ballpark, you know. Fingers crossed.
All right, let's start wrapping things up, Anthony. Let's talk about any new projects that we didn't mention, social media, website, where folks can keep tabs on you. Heck, the Kickstarter, I didn't even mention that in there. So let's go for a quick little wrap-up of all those important details.
Absolutely. So you can find the Kickstarter. Like, you can search Tap or Die Comic. It'll come up with the Kickstarter. I'm on YouTube, Super Comic Bros. I'm on Twitter, at Stokes the Writer. And I got a lot of different projects, man. I got a K-sequel coming out. I got a manga coming out next month. I'm pretty much dropping comics every 2 months. I have a comedy coming out, which I'm very excited about. I have an incredible artist. I have an incredible colorist, an insane colorist. So I think hopefully that's the thing that kind of propels me into stardom, I'm hoping. So it's a lot of stuff, man. It's tricky, man, because you're in a fog, bro. Like, I didn't even, like, I'm a big football fan. There's two things I love. I love the Eagles. I love movies. Like, I didn't realize football is around the corner. We are 8 weeks away. I was traumatized from the fucking Super Bowl, but I was like, damn, like, it is summer. Like, I didn't know the Mission Impossible movie came out, like, this weekend, like, Oppenheimer. So I just been in a fog making comics, but also my catalog is expanding crazy. So that's the best thing. Cause you can always slow down, but I feel like it's harder to, I feel like it's hard to pick things up, you know?
Well, Anthony, thanks for sitting down and chatting with me. And I appreciate you spending some time here telling us all about all your projects that you got going on, man.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you. Yeah, man. Thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'll throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Anthony Stokes, talking about Tap or Die and all of his other projects that he has going on. As you heard, he is one busy man. So, but check him out on his social media accounts and keep tabs on what he's doing. And if you want to give to the Kickstarter, you still have quite a bit of time. July 25th is when it ends. If you want to plunk down your cash, again, just go over to Kickstarter.com, look for Tap or Die, or look for Anthony D. Stokes, and you'll find ways that you can get your hands on Anthony's cool comic, Tap or Die. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to tell you where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode of the PVD cast. Well, first off, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can also leave me a message over on the Facebook or Instagram feeds. Just search for at PVDcast. And if you want to be old school, you can email me as well. The email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know where they can hear this great podcast. Well, there's many different avenues for that. First and foremost, you can get the PVDcast over at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets. Like, for an example, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio app, etc., etc. Just go to your favorite podcasting app, put in the search bar PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you're listening through one of those outlets or through one of those apps, please rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out the algorithm. And of course, if you want to subscribe as well, that would be great. So then that way you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. But every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, yours truly does a quick little Facebook Live broadcast that can be heard at the Facebook page. That again being at PVD cast. And so it's a quick, easy way to get the week's episode. And there is a final way that you can hear the PVD cast, and that's through CROC Radio. That's right, Croc Radio out of British Columbia, Kimberley, British Columbia, to be exact. It's a great internet radio station that is on all of those various different circuits and outlets for internet radio. Just search for PVD cast. And you will find it right there on Croc Radio. So again, there's four easy ways, whether you want to use pvdcast.com, your own favorite app, the Facebook broadcast, or CROC Radio. There's, like I said, a variety of ways to get this podcast in your ear. All right, with that, I need to get on out of here because I feel like I'm rambling a little bit. And so I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2023.